off.
White House staff members are freaking out today. Podcast or whatever.
That there was actually a prank call. Fake Bob Menendez, real Stuttering John Melendez.
Did this comedian just prank the president?
Courtesy of the Stuttering John podcast.
I can't believe this.
All right, baby, you cut that off a little too quick there, Royce. Royce is like, it's like Nancy's spinning plates. He's doing a billion things at once, and I'm not going to get mad at Royce because he's working his ass off. We got the TV remix up. People are loving it, the Billy Jackie and John on Howard, Jackie's title, but we have to like succumb to Jackie sometimes so we don't hear his whining and bitching. But I am so happy to be here today. It is earlier than usual, and we had to do that because I am going to Jay Leno's garage. Jay has accepted my request as usual. Jay and Helga over there, I love them, and Lisa and Karen there are the best. And Joe Drago, all my old Tonight Show buddies, but they are allowing me to take some people from England who are really big fans of Jay over the pond, and they want to see the cars. And Jay is an incredible host and a good friend, and I'm going to get him a book and sign it. And really, I'm just going to say thanks for everything. You are the best. He really, truly is a good guy. You could say I'm kissing his ass, but fuck you. Because the guy fucking is responsible for making me a lot of fucking money. A lot more than Howard Stern did. Speaking of Howard, this is a new one that Royce just showed me, which is such a fucking... It's just unfucking believable. But there's a picture that's out of Howard with Jimmy Fallon, Billy Joel, Judd Apatow, Sting, and Paul Rudd. And then who writes this is the new Brat Pack? Or
Well, it's not Howard. It's Hollywood Howard.
Yeah, it's Hollywood Howard with all his Hollywood buddies. But, like, what did you say to me? Somebody wrote, this is like, thanks for allowing me to be in the Brat Pack. What?
Apatow Instagrammed, happy birthday to Paul Rudd from your own personal Brat Pack. I'm so glad we've all become so close over the years.
Yeah, and all that is they're all little Hampton boys. And now they're all fucking, you know, kissing the king of all mediocre. So it's just amazing to me. And I'm going to soon have Chauncey Hayden on the show, and he's got tons and tons of Howard Stern gossip that I think any old Stern fan or even new Stern fan is gonna fucking salivate on. But before I do that, I'm just gonna briefly just talk a little bit about politics, and it's just very simple. William Simon Barr Sinister is fucking at a fucking hearing today. And I just got to catch a little bit on CNN. First of all, they're asking about the Mueller report, where he's going to release a redacted report. Fuck you, fucking Barr. Fucking, no, not a redacted one. Give the House the whole fucking thing. You don't have to redact it. You don't have to protect Supreme Court justices or any justices to the House. They are part of the team. So fucking don't redact it and just fucking release it, you fat fuck.
Dude, and now he was fucking dancing.
Well, he was dancing like crazy. They were asking, I got to give the credit where credit is due, from Pennsylvania. What is it, Patterson? I forget the guy's name. The House dude. I
can't remember.
Anyway, he was grilling. I'm like, so let me get this straight. You want to abolish Obamacare and take, and 12 million people will be off Medicaid and another 800,000 from Pennsylvania, and you're okay with that? He goes, well, if it's so bad, then the judges will. He goes, no, that's what I'm not asking. Why are you doing this? And he dodged it. He will not answer a question, just like his fucking Fuhrer, Donald J. fucking Orange Man.
Did you see, though, when he did the whole Ken Starr pivot?
I didn't see that one.
Whatever the statute of stipulation is, but he brought it all the way back to Ken Starr and Clinton. And you're just like, doing this for your audience of one, bringing the Clintons into it.
Yeah, yeah. And Royce, I have to commend you because Royce taught me about pivoting. I didn't know anything about what, you know, because we were talking about when I was going to run for Senate. I go, well, suppose there's a question I can't answer. He goes, you just pivot. You just don't answer it. And now I'm watching this guy, Barr, just like Kavanaugh. They just pivot. They don't answer a question.
Barr is like one of those hippos in a tutu in those cartoons that just dances around.
Well, I don't know.
He did not give one fucking direct answer this morning.
Yeah, and you know what? He's such a fat fuck. I think he should be his new name, Chocolate Barr.
Chocolate Barr?
Yeah, Chocolate Barr. He's a fat fuck. Anyway.
Shouldn't it really be Omelette Barr, just to go along the whole theme of Mar-a-Lago?
No, I like Chocolate Barr.
All right.
Anyway. Hershey's is the kind of chocolate. Anyway.
Guy ate the whole chocolate factory.
So Motel 6 and Ice. This is now. Is this another company I'm going to ban? I've already banned Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is anti-gay. And, hey, there's a rhyme. Chick-fil-A even, is anti-gay.
But even
that is why I say nay.
Buttigieg even said, he, as a gay man, he said, look, I don't agree with their politics, but I'm kind of okay with their chicken.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Buttigieg, don't be gay. Oh, wait, that's not right. Don't be... I can't think of a
Buttigieg?
How do you say his name?
Buttigieg.
Oh, Buttigieg.
I think that's how you say it.
I am in dismay that you would support Chick-fil-A. Fuck them. I banned them. I banned Papa John's because that fucking idiot Papa John Fragatelloni or whatever his name was, whatever that asshole's name was, out came out against the kneeling in the NFL and came out against Obamacare saying it's going to cost him an arm and a leg. Fuck you. I'm glad they got rid of you. You were a bad face for Papa John's. Maybe I'll consider buying that shit pizza again because now that you're out of there. Now,
I do like that garlic sauce to dip the crust.
Dude, you like anything that is called food. Fucking anyway.
That's not true. I even like things that aren't cold food, like McDonald's.
Yeah. So Motel 6 and Ice. So Motel 6, they gave Ice like names they thought might not be American citizens.
Yeah, it's a good thing you never stayed there. They would have just turned you in based off your last name.
Well, if you've been to Motel 6, the last thing you want them to be doing is anything with ice, since when you sleep there, you get lice. Motel 6, lice rhymes with ice, Royce. I remember once when I got lice at the South Point Casino.
Yeah.
You know, well, I had lice for my son because he slept on my arm and I seen all these bites, you know. And they quarantined me. That's when Jackie didn't even call me after I called him and had his free steak dinner without even asking if I wanted anything.
What?
Yeah, without even asking if I... And then the next day... You know, I was talking to like the owner or whatever, and I'm about to go on stage, and this dickhead Phil Lizetta, who like booked Jackie and I, was like, "Hey, you should do a bit about lice." So I wrote a bunch of jokes about me having lice, and the owner goes, "And we're just talking. Hey, I might do some fucking jokes about my lice." He goes, "You do that, I'll fucking throw you out of this fucking casino by the fucking by your belt buckles." He's like a mobster wannabe, yeah. Or a mobster, who knows? And I'm like, why? What's the matter? He goes, do you realize how many people won't come here because of the fucking lice?
Forget it. An epidemic.
And now I'm thinking South Point. Have you seen the prostitutes at South Point?
No, I can't say that I have.
No, they're not getting the Caesars fucking top scale prostitutes. They're getting chicks with fucking three nipples and fucking four eyes.
It's like a fucking circus.
Yeah, and they're huge. They're bigger than chocolate bar. So fucking don't worry about it. No one's going to be running out of South Point. If you saw the girls there, they're covering... They have way more disease than lice, trust me.
I don't... Okay.
All right.
Not going to argue with you over chocolate bar, but I got to tell you, that guy... You, if you punch that guy, you'd have to pull your fist back out.
And then he's got
like a fucking doughy wall. You want to talk about that guy?
Yeah.
He's like the fucking Michelin man.
No, he
or
is.
Or the Charmin man, one of those guys.
And he's got the bowl over the head haircut, you know, cheap like fucking... You know, what supercuts, although I can't goof on supercuts because they're the ones that cut my hair.
He said one of these guys this morning asked him, like, so basically, you're going to tell me that you're not going to give us any information and this is going to be redacted and that, blah, 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 blah. And he just goes, yeah.
Yeah, he's a fucking...
Like, just fucking punch him in the face.
No, it's just obstruction of justice. It's so funny. Leader McConnell, Mitch McDickhead, Mitch McTortoise, he put out something that said... Oh, you know, all these Democrats are trying to obstruct us. And this is the fucking guy, Mitch McConnell, who came out when Obama was within his 1 month of his first term and said the GOP's main goal is to make sure Obama is a one-term president. This is the most obstructionist prick in history. And he has the gall to fucking sit there and say Democrats are obstructionists. The Democrats have been blocked by fucking the GOP since day one. Fuck you, McConnell. I swear to you. I can't wait, Royce. I know you're meeting with an investor tonight. I can't wait till we get some investors like behind this show, because then I'm going to fly my fucking fat ass out to Washington and I'm going to get McConnell and fucking get that chick Lindsey Graham, and I'm going to fucking, yeah, I know, here's our new microphone that could record. You know, so I don't even need a cord. This is big time. This is a revolutionary thing. Because the
You're
old days,
ambush.
Yeah, because the old days I had to have the thing fucking strapped to my chest like Aqualung. That's a New York reference.
Did that ever actually? I'm curious.
Right.
Did Did that ever become an issue for you? You ever, like, lose an interview because, like, somebody fucking ripped the cord out or some shit?
Maybe that, but sometimes, like, I forgot to hit the, like, undo the pause button on the thing. But anyway, who was I talking about? Oh, we'll get that chick, you know, Lindsey Graham, and, you know, as soon as we get that, you know, as soon as we get the whole thing set up,
yeah.
I'm flying to Washington, West. And which brings me to, and I don't know what the right move is here. I told you that I was driving with my 13-year-old son, who I love so much. The kid is the coolest, and he's a great-looking kid and almost a pro skateboarder. He's jumping 9 stairs, flipping the board in the midair. The kid's great. I took him to Anthony Pappalotto and a bunch of other pros, and they all said, John, this kid is doing stuff that we couldn't do. So hopefully, I mean, now he wants to be an actor. So I told him that I'm going to do the red carpet sitting in. He said, Dad, can I do them? I'm the biggest prankster. I would love to do them. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know you would ever want to do that. He goes, yeah. How funny would that be as the, you know, Stuttering John's kid is now the red carpet interview?
I think it's great.
But the only problem, as you pointed out, Royce, is that, you know, then you get the social media assholes, you know, that are going to goof on him. And I don't know if I want to subject him to the trolls out there.
Although, being your son, I wouldn't mind seeing his response.
Oh yeah. No, he would fucking call everybody out. He's like, the kid's fucking, you know, brighter beyond his years. He's 12, 13. He's already like a girl magnet. I mean, but, you know, anyway, since I'm talking about my kids, I'll give props to my, you know, Lily Bell, you know, my daughter. She's graduating Calabasas High School, which is, by the way, incredibly competitive, very competitive.
Very good.
She has a 4.5 cumulative average, and she's been accepted to just about every one of her colleges she's applied for with pretty much full scholarships. And this is not that Lori Loughlin bullshit and Felicity Huffman. This kid has earned it.
Yeah.
She's been a bookworm ever since she was a little kid. It's so funny, there's a picture of Knight, my oldest, Oscar, you know, my youngest, and Lily. And Lily's the only one with a huge bag of books on her back. She's always been, she speaks fluent in Spanish, in honor Spanish in 12th grade. The teacher makes them debate political topics only in Spanish. She pretty much taught herself how to play guitar. The kid's a prodigy, and she's been accepted to so many good schools I won't mention because I don't want the trolls.
No, but you don't do that.
No, but I mean,
she's going to Adelphi, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Way better than that. She's a lot smarter than Baba Buhai and fucking Royce.
Going to Hofstra.
Royce DeFuy. And all I'm going to say is she's earned this. And like some of the colleges at $60,000 a year, they're giving her $55,000.
Right. And how much did you give the college? $100?
I didn't give them anything.
Really?
Well, my parents didn't get it when it came to me. They fucking bribed people to get me into DeVry. Now, we have a very big guest on. I think I covered. Oh, the only thing else. Yeah, I am going to Jay's Garage today, and I am looking forward to that. And
thanks for the invite.
Oh, fuck you. You'll go next time. I can't, you know, I don't like, Jay's done so much shit for me, I feel fucking guilty asking. Oh, and I do want to talk about this guy named Levon. And we'll get to this after Chauncey. But I'll just get to it now real quick, and then we'll call Chauncey. Fucking, so Royce, as you can recall, I was vice president of podcast over at this company called Imagination Road Entertainment. Now, you know, the guy, Levon, was a friend of mine that used to work with me at the Tonight Show. So he had an investor that was a flake. And, you know, but I brought on board this great guy who I still love, this guy named Ray, and I brought him on. This guy knows, you know, podcasting and how to monetize it like no other man except for you, Royce. So this guy, you know, I brought him into Kevin. And then, you know, I mean into Levon, sorry. And then as this is going on, you know, the investor fucking bails, and Levon fucking spends all his own money, and the company folds. But, you know, God bless Levon that he gave it the chance. So what does Levon do? Like, you know, and I stood with him, everybody on the staff. This one guy was trashing him on social media so much that the guy had a problem getting a job. It was another editor, because Levon was an editor. And then there was other people wanted to sue him. This chick, we'll just call her Kira, and this guy Haas. They tried to sue him.
Are those all fake names?
Yes.
You made up the fake name Haas?
Yes.
Is there a story for that fake name?
It just rhymes with the guy's real name.
Oh, okay.
All right?
I didn't know that.
And Kira does too.
Oh, okay. I gave you way more credit.
Yes. Good. But anyway.
I just so pictured you at home. Like,
I'm just saying. Just let me finish the thought. No. Every one of these people wanted to sue him. They were sending him texts. They wanted to kill him. Ray was sending him angry texts. Who stood by this Levon side? Me. This guy was so broke, I would bring over food to his house. Like bananas, you know.
Oh, wow.
Top ramen, you know, anything that I couldn't find at these little places when I get my beer. So,
God forbid you went out of your way.
Yeah, I get him beer.
You know they sell beer at supermarkets.
I get him beer. That's too long of a way. I like the quick mom and pop. And then I'd get him I get him cigarettes. You know, I'd like anything. Because I love the guy.
Yeah.
What does this guy do? As we're starting a TV, you know, remix, I just call him to ask him for a investor, booklet. And what does he do? He tells me that he and Ray have been. Started their own company 10 months ago, and they didn't even give me the courtesy of a heads up. The guy that I introduced them to, and this is the reason why I just say this, is the people who do tweet me and say Hollywood is a bunch of phonies, I'm not going to argue with you because 90% of that is true.
It's all true.
Well, no, you're not a phony.
Well,
but you're not from Hollywood.
I'm in Chatsworth.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. So Levon basically fucking just like totally ignores me and befriends the guy that was trashing him and ignores the guy that stood by his side, me. And the guy owes me $6,000 in pay and I never even asked him. So now that he has a new company that he started, when you make that fucking money, Levon, I want my $6,000. Now let me just say, before I finish on the Levon, I should have known what a scumbag he was, because when we were at the Tonight Show, people would say to me, don't trust Levon. Don't tell him anything. He'll go to the head writer. He is not to be trusted. And guess what? When a fellow writer at the Tonight Show, Anthony Kaleka, who has won an Emmy, congratulations for writing for the talk, and he's a good friend of mine, he told me that he wanted to do a reality show with me. I said, sure. So then I told Levon, I gave him the heads up. I gave him the courtesy of a heads up because that's the fucking guy that I am, Royce. So we're on my patio. He's smoking his fucking cigarettes. I'm drinking my beer. And I say, look, Levon, you know, Anthony wants to do a reality show with me.
I feel like you gave up on the fake names, but go ahead.
And then Levon goes, I go, what's the matter? He goes, so I guess I'm not included. I go, of course you are. Tell me what title you want. Tell me what you want to do. He goes, well, I don't want to be an editor anymore. I go, fine. So what do you want? I want to be a producer. I go, Levon, you got it. You could be, you'll be a producer if this show gets going. So then Levon goes to Jay's garage, trying to borrow money from Jay, and he goes there and he hangs out with Helga, Jay's assistant, and he says, yeah, John's going to do a show with Anthony. And Helga goes, because I love Helga, she goes, oh, is John going to include you? Levon says, no. And then when he told me this story at his house, yeah, I said, no. I go, how dare you, you motherfucker? I said I was including you. Oh, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. She barely heard me.
Unreal.
What a fucking scumbag. So now that he's doing this company, see, you know, I always give people three strikes. So the first was at the Tonight Show where everyone told me don't trust him.
Yeah.
Then, or the first was when his company folded and he owed me $6,000. The second is when he throws me under the bus with Jay's people.
Yeah.
The third, right now.
It's right now.
Is that he fucking creates a company, which was what I was doing, and he fucking does it behind my back and doesn't give me a heads up. And the only other thing I'll tell you, Royce, on this Levon fucking douchebag thing is, this guy, this is the way he tries to make it be okay. Well, John, you never wanted to, because he's getting, like, YouTubers and just buying content. Like, he's getting already produced content. He doesn't have a studio. And he says, well, you didn't want to do that. I go, Levon, I'm the one who, it was my agent that got us the Rockline fucking catalog that we were offering him $50,000 for, if you can recall. Don't fucking tell me I wasn't into doing that.
Don't you love when people do that and then they, oh, you had me do this? And you,
yeah.
People are full of shit.
No. So in other words,
revisionist history.
Yes, yeah, so in other words, I was the one getting the Rockline catalog. And fucking now he's saying that I didn't want to do that. That's his way of justifying him being a scumbag and not fucking telling me things. But he's got bigger problems with the law. I won't get into that. That's his own personal thing. But he's got his own problems. So, Levon, I'm just going to say, fuck you. You're a fucking piece of shit. And you are not my friend, which is why we get to our friends list and who's on and off the show. Who is a very big on? Hal Sparks will be on next week. Hal Sparks, and we are slowly getting more and more celebrity guests. I think we we hit it hard with Ed Asner. We had John Fugelsang, which people are loving, and now we're going to have Hal Sparks. But right now, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, it may take some time.
Why?
To get back to the Ed Asner level guests. That was, you know, well, it's not every day you get a multi-Emmy winner in here.
Oh, yep, yeah, true. But you know what? Chauncey Hayden is a very close second. Now, let's get Chauncey Hayden in via Skype from Ireland. The editor and owner of Stepping Out magazine.
No! Not for the last 8 years.
Yes, but now he's stuck in a prison camp in Ireland, and he's dressed to go rob the kid on A Christmas Story. Let's all give it up for Chauncey Hayden. Chauncey Hayden. How you doing, Chauncey?
I'm good. Coming in loud and clear from Ireland.
Why are you in Ireland?
I moved here 2 years ago to raise my daughter.
Why? Is she in Ireland?
She's Irish, from Ireland, born here, and needs her daddy. So here I am.
Can you speak Irish?
She can, but I can't.
What do you mean? Irish is English.
No, Gaelic. They call Irish Gaelic.
Hey, no need to get the gays involved in this. Come on.
That's why I have my hamster with me,
so,
Roxy.
So, Chauncey, now, the first thing I have to say is you're the idiot who has a tattoo of a paraphrased Nietzsche on your back, correct?
That's right. That's right. that was one of the first big scandals of the Stern Show, the guy that got the paraphrased Nietzsche, because it took too long the other way. The original quote was simply too long. So I kind of shortened it a little bit so it wouldn't hurt so much. I could fit it on my back.
So Chauncey is responsible for cutting the Mona Lisa in half.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's on his back, so only his gay lovers will see it.
That's right. There you go.
All right, Chauncey. Now, first things first, we have to get this is the craziest thing that Royce told me that we have. Is the Trump audio. Donald Trump is, now does he call you or do you call him?
He calls me in the middle of the night in my apartment.
How does he have your number?
I kind of had a relationship with Donald over the years. I've interviewed him several times. I've been up to his office. So he knew me very well. You know, we've spoken other times professionally doing interviews, so he had my number.
So he calls you and asks you to squash a story that you're doing.
Begs me.
Yep. Yeah. Now, what is the story?
So remember Dr. Victoria Zadrock?
Remember her? Yeah, yeah.
She did the Stern Show a few times. She worked with Lainey at Penthouse. So she told me during an interview that she went out with Donald Trump on a couple of dates. And gave me all this stuff about him, about his hair, and about how he kissed, and all this.
Wait. What about his hair?
She just said how creepy it was to put her hands in it. It was like kind of a bird's nest. it wasn't very complimentary.
And what about his kissing?
That he slobbered over her. Way too much saliva came out of his mouth. It's going to turn your stomach if I get into details.
No, I love it.
but I put it all up, you know, into a couple of paragraphs for Donald to review and comment on if he disagreed with any of it. So I sent it. I don't know if you remember Norma, his assistant. So she's dead now, but I sent it to Norma, and I said, look, if Donald wants to read this,
I'm going to go through with this.
So yeah. Give him a chance to respond. I never thought in a million years he'd even look at it, let alone respond to it. In the middle of the night, my phone rings, and I'm like, who can be calling me? 2 a.m. And I hear his voice. There's no mistaking who it is.
Yes.
Oh, it was Chauncey, my man. And the first thing I said was, so wait, am I fired? He goes, no, man, I never fired. But listen, Chauncey, listen, they're begging me to kill this thing.
And what was he afraid of? Was he cheating on his wife at the time?
I think he wasn't married at the time, but I think he had other relationships. He was seeing a few models. He didn't want it out there. He did not want, and his ego. He doesn't want anybody talking about him in a negative light, especially a girl. And this is what he claims in the phone call. He goes, Chauncey, I would never date a penthouse pet. They're all prostitutes. I would never be seen with one. I said, Donald, she was a Playboy centerfold before she was in penthouse, and she was runner-up for Playboy Playmate of the Year. I go, so she was a Playboy Playmate, and she does look exactly like your ex-wife. And I have pictures in my hands. I'm looking at photos of you and her together that she gave me. I said, so what are we talking about here? I mean, if you're begging me to kill the story, I'll do it. But don't lie and tell me you don't know her. And if you listen to the tape, as we get into the conversation, then he starts to admit that she's stalking him and that they did go out, but that he didn't like her. He started off with saying they never knew each other.
Well, of course, he's the liar in chief. But let me, so he did bang her, according to the girl, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so now, did she comment on his penis?
I have another audio that I have to send you guys where I got her, after this tape, I sat her down on my own podcast, and I played the whole tape for her, and we stopped it at every comment that Donald made about her so she could comment. I actually have that somewhere, which I'll send to your producer if you ever want to play it on the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, yeah. You know, what did she say about his tiny dick?
You know, it was a while ago, John. Nothing was positive. There wasn't a single positive thing about him. I'd have to go back and listen to all the details, but it's so creepy and it's so weird. Like, it's not something you want to relive again. But it wasn't good. None of it was good.
All right, so we got to play this. I don't know where Royce just went, but we were going to play the Trump phone call. But, of course, you know, as I'm building up to hearing it, Royce decides to leave the room. So, you know, let me ask you about the Wynn John's job. Now, you're claiming that was a setup?
Oh, Howard told me it was. Howard himself told me it was. When that was all over with, there was a party at a place called the Whiskey Bar by Central Park.
Yeah.
I forget what the party was for, but Howard was there, and he was hosting it. And it was right after the whole week ended. And Howard was talking to me, and we're talking about the whole week. And he goes, well, you know, I'm thinking about hiring Sal. He goes, you know, he did a pretty good job. I'm like, yeah, no, Sal's awesome. He goes, well, you know, Richard was already hired before we even did the thing. You know that, right? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Like, oh, yeah. He goes, we hired Richard, you know, weeks ago. He goes, but we thought Sal did better than Richard. So now we want Sal, not Richard. But we already committed to Richard. So now we got to hire Sal, too.
Wow. Well, yeah.
That was from Howard's lips.
Well, what's weird is that when they asked me who I thought should be my replacement, I said it should be Sal, because I only assumed that Sal would be the only one to bust Gary's balls as much as I did.
And he had a better week than Richard. I don't think was that great that week. I don't think he was the best. And I even called Howard out on it afterwards. If you remember, I called into the show and I said, and this is when you were allowed to do this. Now you can never do it. But in those days, you could almost battle a little bit. Like, it was still that kind of show. So I called in and I said, Howard, it was all a fix. It was a setup. I didn't rat Howard out for being the one who told me, but I called him out on the fact that it was fixed, seeing what he would say to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you're a sore loser. You're a sore loser. And I wanted to say so bad, you just told me.
Yeah,
that was a fix. But then I knew I'd be off the show permanently, so I didn't want to go there. But you know, it was what it was. It was a scam. It was pointless.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I hate to say it, Chauncey, and I know I sound like an egomaniac, but I personally don't think Sal, Richard, or any of them have been able to fill my shoes when it comes to instigating and being the perennial ball buster.
And there's nothing like, you can't replace anyone with an iconic cast like that. I mean, Artie was great, but you can't replace Jackie. The original is always the best, no matter who you bring in. And you can't even call it John's job. If you want to bring in somebody else to be a show, whatever you want to call it, then be creative enough to give it another name. But when you left, it was almost like a slap in your face that we can just get any idiot to come in now and be John. Yeah. And that's kind of what they were saying. But you can't. It was, in a sense, I would say that was a jump the shark moment for the show.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But Royce is back. What happened?
Sorry, the owner of the building just popped by.
Oh, my
God.
And
as you know, with everything that's going on with the city, I had to jump
out
there.
No, I understand. I understand. It's just that we were building up for the Trump audio.
Yes, I'm very sorry.
It's okay, Royce. Can we get to the Trump audio now?
I'm ready.
Yeah, but we tried. Frank tried, and I couldn't hear it, but Chauncey could.
See, my man.
Am I fired?
How are you? You'll never fire me, Chauncey. But, Chauncey, we've been good to your magazine with The Apprentice. You saw the ratings that went to number one. I mean, it's killing it.
The show is huge.
It's huge. It's the biggest thing in NBC. The NBC people just left. They said it's the biggest show they've had since Friends.
Well, it's what we both predicted.
Yeah, that's true. Chauncey, this person, Victoria. I don't even know who the hell she is. I never took her out. I don't know who she is. And by the way, based on her picture, I would never take her. She looks like a fucking third-rate hooker. I mean, give me a break. I never took this girl out.
She claims that she went on 4 dates.
I never took her out. She's full of shit.
I know.
Now, take
I
a look. Hey, Chauncey, look, I have good taste in women.
Right.
Take a look at her picture. First of all, she's not a Playboy girl. She's like a Playboy something girl, they say. Yeah. Number one. Anything. It's all bullshit. I never took her out. How long ago was this? 10 years ago?
Did you read her quote? She said that, I guess, you were considering using her for an ad
campaign.
That's
bullshit. That's just total bullshit. And number one. Number two, who the fuck? I use models for that. I don't use Playboy people for that stuff.
That's why she said that. I guess you contacted Playboy Promotions.
No, but I don't use Playboy people for that. We use models.
It's total
bullshit, Chauncey.
I sent her a couple of emails where I'm trying to get her to respond to me, and I haven't heard back from
her. It's total bullshit. I have no idea, except I know one thing. She called up the office like 10 different times.
Right.
Years ago. This is like 5 years ago. That's the only reason, because it was an unusual spelling. I never took her out. She wanted to go out. Did Norma tell you she used to call?
She said that she would call the office nonstop, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I recognized the name. That was like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
So am I dealing with a lunatic?
No, you're dealing with ancient history, number one, and you're dealing with a person that I never took out. And based on her picture, I would never take out. She's not even attractive.
Right.
By the way, she's not a good-looking girl.
She's in her mid-30s now. Well, she is Penthouse Pet of the Year.
When?
This year, 2004.
Penthouse. I mean, who the hell wants a penthouse pet? Penthouse is gone. It's bankrupt. It's over. I mean, penthouse, she's a 35-year-old penthouse pet? That's pretty pathetic. Hey, Chauncey, give me a break. You shouldn't write a story like that.
All right.
That's bullshit.
You
think I'm going to go out with a penthouse pet? I thought it was Playboy.
Well, she was Playboy. She's the only girl ever to do both. That's her claim to fame.
Forget it. I never took her out.
So she's riding your coattails. She's trying to hop on.
Hey, excuse me. This is the fourth time that this has happened to me. In the last 2 weeks.
Since the show
You know, the show went to number one. I don't know, you just saw that, I guess.
Now the girls are coming out of the woodwork?
Well, at least two of them, actually, I did date. And actually, they were very nice. They said great things about me.
And this is one who...
I had another one that said terrible about me, but I never even heard of her. At least this one, I heard of because she used to call the office.
Right.
And I didn't speak to her. But look...
Okay.
It's total bullshit, and, you know, it's not right to have somebody ride the coats. You know, the only reason I call you about it,
right.
It'd be easy just not to call you, go, sir, nobody gives a shit. The truth is, it's just so fucking false.
Right, okay.
I don't like to let them get away with this crap.
Okay, but now, Chauncey, I thought at some point wasn't there pictures of him together with the girl?
Yeah, I had the photos of them together.
Yeah.
They were there. For some reason, the tape cuts off a little short. It goes on longer than that. I have to find out why. But yeah, I had all the evidence. I ran the story. He didn't sue me. I ran the whole story. I mean, you would think if it was false, he would have sued me.
Well, listen. Donald is a fucking bullshitter. He lies every single day. So, of course he knows the girl. And if the girl said she banged him, then he banged her.
I mean, well, if you listen to the beginning, he doesn't know her. And at the end, all of a sudden, he knows her. He knows her well.
I know.
So it is what it is. But it cracks me up that when you hear that guy talk, to think that he's the president of the United States.
I know. I know. Bullshit and third-rate whore. And
can you imagine Abraham Lincoln? Bullshit, she's a whore.
You don't even have to go far back. Obama would not be saying that either.
Imagine Reagan or anybody.
He just heard Reagan. Go ahead, Royce.
Two things fascinate me about that. First one is he's doing that thing Michael Cohen said in his testimony where he's basically, Chauncey, telling you how to lie or how to arrive at the lie without asking you to lie for him.
Yeah.
And then he equates attractiveness to money. Which is no surprise, but I find it fascinating that Penthouse's failure justifies why he could never be attracted to her.
No, I know. But meanwhile, Melania was a fucking prostitute. So, I mean,
sky's blue.
Picture, she looks exactly like his first wife.
Who, Ivana?
Yeah, looks exactly like her. Like a twin.
Do you have a picture of her? Well, Royce, in post, put a picture in there.
You can bring up Victoria Zadrock and then Trump's first wife, Ivana. They look like twins.
Could you do that?
Oh, I'll do it.
Oh, you don't want to.
Well, it's
do
documented in the recording.
Okay.
You want me to pull it right now?
I want to just see the picture of the girl. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they look like twins.
Adelphi?
You just said cut it in.
Adelphi people are not that bright.
I got to tell you, that
Chauncey Royce.
That's a racist accent you're doing.
Royce graduated from the same college as Baba Booey, Adelphi. And he does the same Baba Booey thing. I don't know if you have noticed, but whenever Gary goes to tell a story, like in a studio, he'll look at Howard and he'll go, "Here's the deal." And then he'll look to the side and then look back as if he's bringing in some great information with those big fucking gargantuan lips, those fucking smelly fucking teeth, and that.
I got to tell you while he's doing that, I got to tell you what I did to Gary. After I was booted from the show and banned, and they weren't allowed to talk about me anymore. I had friends at Sirius. So I used to go to Sirius at night to see some friends over there, and I could see where the Howard studio was. You know, you couldn't get near it because it was like a castle with bolts. So what I would do, I would make a fake email account, and the next day I would send Gary an email saying, "Gary, I don't want to say who I am, but I work over at Sirius. Last night, Chauncey was here, and he got into your office, and he was going through all your drawers. You should know about it." And Gary would go ballistic. He couldn't figure out how I would take it into his office. And I did that to him about 10 times. And they wouldn't let me near the building anymore because they thought I was breaking in and going through Gary's stuff.
He is
crazy.
He is such an idiot. Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah, she's high. Looks like Ivana.
Yeah, she's better looking than Ivana.
Better looking, yeah.
And you know, the Playboy. First of all, Sandra Taylor was in both Penthouse and in Playboy. I believe. No.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now listen, I think so. But Chauncey, but you wrote for the Post or the News, right?
I was a gossip reporter for the New York Daily News, Hot Copy, with AJ Benza.
Yeah, 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 with AJ. So, but anyway, yeah. So Trump, we've proven again that Trump is trying to squash things like he does even to this day.
Now, I would say this. If she would have said Trump was a great lover and a great kisser, I guarantee you he would have remembered who she was and owned it and said, "Well, can I say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy." And that's
no.
There you go. Another of great course. Story about me. It would be a whole different reaction.
Of course. Now, let's get into more juicy gossip here. Stern SEC lawsuit. Howard is accusing the press of being forced to tone it down. He denies, but years later he does. Tell me what's that all about.
With the SEC scandal?
Yeah.
That was what got me booted off the show and banned permanently. So I used to have a gig with ABC News, a show called Tattle Tales, where I would go in and I would literally sit in the world news desk in the middle of the afternoon when nobody was there. And Gigi Stone, I don't know if you remember her, she was the host of the show and she would ask me gossip and I would give gossip sitting there in the world news desk. And one of the questions at the end of a show was, "Hey, you know, you're friends with Howard. What's he going to do when his contract runs out over at Terrestrial Radio?" I said, "Well, nobody really knows, but I would bet the farm that he's going to go to Sirius because he's not going to go to the same satellite station as Opie and Anthony. And that was the end of it. About 4 months later, I'm in the studio on the couch with Howard. I think we were doing something about my broken penis or some stupid thing. I'm sitting on the couch, and Howard says, okay, stop the show for a second. I have an announcement to make. The drum roll started, and Howard goes, I'm going to say where I'm going after my contract runs out. I'm going to Sirius Satellite Radio. Everybody applauds. It's a big news story. It's in the front page of the paper. Well, the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission.
Unfortunately, I do know them.
About 2 months later in my office. And I say, fuck you, Sal. And I hung up. I don't even have stock. Why would the SEC be calling me? They call back. This really is the SEC. We need you to come in. We need to talk to you about Stern. I go, fuck you, Sal. I hung up again. The next day, I get a FedEx package with a subpoena in it.
Wow.
From the SEC. And I never thought that you get FedEx subpoenas. I thought it had to be something a guy in a suit hands you. So I think it's still bullshit. So I call Jason at the show, and he tells me, he starts laughing, going, oh, it's total bullshit. Don't worry about it. I call Gary. Gary goes, oh, just throw it out. Someone's busting your balls. I call Don Buchwald. He doesn't return my call.
Of course not. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. I went through the whole chain of command. Nobody takes it serious or you know, will comment. So a buddy of mine was the editor of the New York Post. So at the business section. So I said, listen, take a look at this. Tell me if this is real or bullshit. He goes, fax it to me, and I'll know if it's real or not. So I faxed him the subpoena. No, it was a Friday afternoon, and Howard's on vacation for the whole week. That was his last day on the air. I don't hear back from the guy, so I'm thinking it must be bullshit. The next morning, I go to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm going to get coffee, and there's the newspapers right there in front of the store. There's my subpoena and Howard Stern's face on the front page of the New York Post that I'm going to put Howard in jail. And remember, this is right after Martha Stewart, when she actually did go to jail for the same thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm the guy putting Howard in prison.
Awesome.
And I can't even respond to it because he's on vacation all week.
Too bad you weren't successful. So then it was just, what, they were accusing you of like insider trading or something?
Yeah, they were saying that Howard told me that he was going to go to Sirius in advance, that I would say it.
But
in a forum somehow to boost the stock.
But I don't get about the toning down of it.
No, so Chauncey, in preparation for this.
Oh my God, you clear your throat like Gary does too.
Wolf.
Shit. I'm working with the new Baba Booey.
And I'm working with the same old stuttering John.
West Coast Baba Booey.
Looks like much hasn't changed. You're just a little balder and a little heavier.
Go ahead.
So I'm going through all these clips because, you know, the guys at Radio Gunk sent me like an arsenal of things to review. And it was fascinating to me during the whole coming to Sirius. Then you were on the air with Howard and he was accused of having meetings behind closed doors telling everybody to tone it down. So during this whole escalation, that's going on. And Howard's going, look, they sat my guys down to talk about, you know, slander and libel. I never went to the meeting. Robin's like, I never went to the meeting. And it was all about like, oh, because that Sirius wants bigger sponsors and all this shit. And now here we are, what, 15 years or whatever it is later.
Wait, I got to be clear on this. They're telling Howard, who's telling him to tone it down?
There were articles out in the media during the course of this whole
investigation.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Howard was refuting them on the air saying, we are not being told to tone it down. I'll never get McDonald's as a sponsor.
But who was telling him to tone it down?
Shed some light on that. So this is what you're referring to. And this is kind of awesome. So Howard's on vacation. Neil Cavuto calls me and says, will you do the full hour with me to discuss this SEC scandal and tell me what's going on with Howard and this whole securities, you know, accusation. So I go on Neil Cavuto for 60 minutes, the whole hour. And I'm talking about Howard and Sirius and why it's a scam and people, you know, the fist in the air and people are going to be spending their money, you know, for a it's not going to be what Howard says it's going to be. you're going to get less content, only you're going to have to buy it, and there are still going to be commercials. There's still going to be, advertising. And I don't care what Howard says, they're going to be advertisers on that show. And Howard went fucking ballistic. He demanded a full hour himself the next day to go after me on Neil Cavuto. I write a free giveaway magazine in New Jersey, and Howard's on a global business news show for an hour going after me. Like, I just stabbed him in the heart.
So he did do it? He did do an hour?
He did it. Yeah.
Oh, he is a freak.
But that's got to, I mean, that just.
But what I don't understand is who's telling him to tone it down?
They were saying that Sirius executives were pulling his team in behind closed doors.
Okay.
Because they were going for bigger sponsors. Now, he ultimately landed there. That's where he is now as a show.
Yeah.
So I question how much of that was out of the gate real.
I think they might have tried, but I think it was Marcy Turk that really said, Howard, you want the love from other celebrities. You want the love from a national population. You have to be a nice, lovable guy. And that's what Howard's trying to be. And it's such a sad thing to watch. There's nothing wrong with being a nice guy, but there is something wrong with not taking care of your people like Scott the Engineer and JD and all these other guys. Howard's just become like, well, he was always a cheap fuck, but now he's just even worse.
I was one of the first to call Howard out on all this stuff. Before he started doing these things and screwing the people inside his world, I was already calling him out on it, and that's why I got banned and my name's not allowed to be mentioned. And at the time, all those people that ended up getting screwed, you know how it is there, John. If Howard hates you, you have to hate that same person. So
yep.
All these people that were my so-called friends and buddies, they immediately... I never existed. I'm the arch enemy.
Yep.
Now, those same people got screwed just like I did. I got the same treatment. It's everyone.
Oh, no, that's...
Eventually, you get screwed there.
No, that's Derek Jones, this fucking idiot who used to, you know, who's a writer's assistant on Tonight Show. Now he's a writer at Howard. I've been nothing. I helped him get his job there. And when he came out to L.A., he didn't come see me because he was afraid like, the hate of that Howard has for me. I mean, talk about a fucking spineless twit, but he's always been that, you know, that way. But that's what it comes down to. And I know there are some really good people still over there, but they are truly scared shit.
Scared shitless.
Yeah.
And you could be the next one. Anyone can be the next one. It can happen overnight. It can happen in a heartbeat. So they all live in this incredible fear of losing their jobs and careers. Just look at Scott Salem, I think, is if you could point to one person, that story still makes me sick to my stomach.
Oh, my God, it does.
And that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, what really pissed me off, and I showed my fucking anger on Twitter, was when Howard sent Kathy Lee Gifford this huge, expensive bouquet of flowers and roses for her departure on the Today Show. And I said, you know, that is so sad that Howard does that, but when Scott's wife dies, Howard doesn't even walk downstairs and give him a hug. Instead, he sends him a 2-sentence email. I mean, that after a guy worked for him for 30 years, what does he do? He reaches out to an old fucking celebrity because that's who he wants the love from, and he can give a frog's fat ass about fucking Scott the Engineer who was there for him for 30 years. He's become a parody of himself.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of putting it, parody of himself. It's unbelievable. That's why I don't mind coming out and talking about all the stuff I know. And if you want to get into the wig thing, I got so many stories.
Yeah. Let me write that down because I want to talk about that. But first, let me ask you something. When Trump said that he's not going to fire you, were you working for Trump at all?
No, that was just a joke.
Oh, that was a joke. Okay. No, I thought it was Royce.
I know. Well, it just sounded like, but, you know, like, hey, you take care of me, I take care of you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'll always be on my
payroll.
No,
because Chauncey's had a lot of jobs. I didn't know if he was. But now, Chauncey, you know, the other question is, what exactly were you banned from? I know you're on the red flag list. They're not allowed to mention you. But what were you banned from? What did you do that got you banned?
The SEC. Howard said when I came, Howard was gone that whole week.
Yeah.
While he was gone, my lawyer had me talk to the Washington Post, the Fox News. I basically had news trucks in front of my house. CNN was in front of my house with the satellite dish. Fox News was NBC with the satellite dish, all in front of my house. They all thought I was going to put Howard in prison. And Howard wasn't in town. He was on St. Bart's, wherever the hell he goes, on vacation. So I'm talking to everybody. It's a witch hunt. You know, I don't even own stock. So Howard comes back, and the first thing he says on the air that Monday is, so, Robin goes, how was your week? And he says, well, he goes, I kind of been catching up to Chauncey's media tour. And then I called in. I said, Howard, let me explain. And he goes, bye. Goodbye. And he hangs up. And that was the
he's such a
kind
pussy.
Of the last – Kind of Such the last one, because then a couple of months later, I met Howard at Kelly Ripa's party in New York City, and he's there with Beth. And Beth goes, come here, come here. And there's Howard. And, you know, he's the tallest guy in the room, and you can't miss him. And it's intimidating. Beth goes, no, no, come here, come here. And she takes both our hands, Howard's hand and my hand, and she makes us shake hands. And she goes, I want you two to kiss and make up. It's time for you guys to be friends. I knew Beth. I was very close to Beth. So Howard and I shake hands, and he gives me a hug. And he goes, "Don't." And he whispers in my ear, don't worry, Chauncey, it's all good. You know, forget it. All that stuff is over with. And I went home singing. I was so happy. It was weighing on me at the time. It was all weighing on me. So I go home. I'm happy. The next day in the New York Post on page 6, it says, Howard with his germ phobia had to wear a glove, one glove on his right hand to shake hands at Kelly Ripa's party. Howard goes, so I made up with some guy whose guts I hate last night, and what does he do? 10 minutes later, he calls the Post and stabs me in the back. That guy is dead to me. It wasn't me. I never called the Post. But Howard blamed me for that article and never spoke to me again after that.
Oh, and who did you speak to over at the Post?
I didn't speak to anyone.
I'm kidding, John.
Timing's everything.
Hey, you never banged Beth, did you?
No, but I knew Beth before she met Howard. Beth used to be a model for a catalog company in the town I lived in New Jersey, Glen Rock.
Did you?
Beth used to wait on the top of my block for a bus, even when she was dating Howard.
Did she
Beth
hit on you?
The bus. What?
Did you hit on her?
No, but she was so tall and blonde and striking, you couldn't miss her. She's standing at the end of my block waiting for a bus to pick her up every day.
Yeah.
And so I just knew her, you know? And then even when she was dating Howard...
Was the bus short and yellow? I'm only kidding. I love Beth. I had to do the joke for all the people.
Chauncey, can you shed any light on the comments Alec Baldwin made pertaining to Beth? Years ago on the show, he said something to the effect of, she was a party girl, she was at some dinner with a different guy when she met Howard, and Howard kind of shuts it down really fast.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
That's actually a true story.
Yeah.
Beth went to, it was Nobu, actually. The dinner was at Nobu, and she was with somebody else, and Howard was there, and basically hit on her and stole her from the guy she was with. I don't know what that says about Beth. I mean, I love Beth, but it is what it is, I suppose. You know, Howard at the time was the biggest star in America.
And that guy was the Grease Man.
Right. But you know, Alec Baldwin made the insinuation, hey, she's a party girl. So I just didn't know if, like, was she on that scene, just kind of like, you know, arm candy?
Who wasn't? I mean, if you were, there are models and there are models. Beth was a catalog model. Beth, you might see her in a Sears book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or the local paper might have her wearing Kmart slippers. Beth was that kind of model.
Yeah.
She wasn't Kate Moss.
No, she wasn't a top model. But hell, I mean, you know, she as far as I'm concerned, she's beautiful and she's smart. I just had to make the show.
Yeah, no.
She is. But Beth would be the first one to tell you. She wouldn't. She knows what she was. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's you make a living doing that.
All right, Charles, so before I get to the next question about Billy's hair plugs, let me first ask you, do you know Monique from Radio Gunk?
Yes, of course.
How's her body?
I never met her. And
I know, but she only sends me face pictures.
That's usually indicative.
She's a fucking. She's built like a fucking yacht, right? I don't know. Well, listen. If anyone
looks like.
If anyone has pictures of Monique, I want to see her whole body.
Monique has pictures of Monique.
Yeah, but she won't send them to me.
But that's a problem.
She's got a sexy voice. I love her voice.
I know. I love her voice. I love her face. I just want to see what it's... I love her voice. I love her face. I just want to see her race. All right. Here we go. Billy left over hair plugs done by garbage men. Ralph tugged his hair. Billy wanted to sue. Now, go ahead, Chauncey. Now, listen, just for all the people that are listening, I believe everything Chauncey's saying. You've never, ever lied to me once. And I've been on Stepping Out. I've been in that fucking, that rag so many times. And we've always had a good relationship. I always, I did whatever I had to, I would always give you as good as the stories as I could.
You gave me good advice, actually. You're the one that got me over that whole Stern thing. It was about a year or two after I was banned. I remember it really bothered me because I was on that show for 18 years and it kind of becomes your identity and it was just gone. And I remember you said to me, you go, Chauncey, who cares? Your life is bigger than the Stern Show. You're more important to yourself than the Stern Show. He goes, life goes on. Fuck it. Who cares? And it almost was like a slap in the face. I was like, he's right. What the fuck do I care about Howard Stern? And it changed the way I thought about it after that. Well, I never really cared again.
I'm glad I could help. And you know why? What?
That was funny.
Yeah, and you know why I didn't get that advice, but I was meeting with an agent who represents news people like Dan Rather and Peter Jennings, And when I said to them, they said, you should start getting into more news stuff, whatever. And I said, yeah, but then all the Howard people are going to, call me a sellout, whatever. And they're like, John, Howard's audience, let's say he has 13 million. That represents 0.1 or 1%, not even 1% of the entire population. So you got to think. When people on the Stern Show are in a vacuum, they think there's nothing outside of the Stern Show. And that's the problem. But they have to realize that the Stern Show is just a very tiny entity on, in the world, and
especially now. Yeah. Now it's so diluted with social media and everybody has their own radio show. Anyone on Facebook can have a show. Howard, if you went to a 25-year-old kid, they wouldn't even know who Howard Stern is.
No, I know.
That's the greatest illusion he built, though, was creating that bubble where it was like, oh, you people can't function outside of the show. As soon as people start to, get any sort of acclaim on their own, he gets rid of them. He's now built a cast of characters that are essentially beneath him, literally, in terms of not just skill, but they don't bring anything to the table. So he's kind of conducting everybody.
No, there's no Artie, Jackie, or Billy, or me.
He wouldn't want them now.
Well,
you can't make waves. No,
and I'm not bragging or anything, but I think that all the ones I just mentioned had enough talent to do other things besides Howard, and I think that's another reason why he gets so mad when you leave, because he's like, fuck him,
I'll show him.
Yeah. I'm sure he loved that the Tonight Show was ending. Like, oh, good, John will be out of a job. I'm sure he loves stuff like that. And that's a shame. That's his own. That's his own cross to bear.
That's the real Howard.
If I could just say this as somebody that spent their entire life listening to the show and went from, the evolution of you and Jackie and Chauncey, you too, all you guys, I remember at its best, he did not have control of the room. It was a free-for-all, like Jackie would say. Yeah. He doesn't want that now. He needs to have control of the room.
Oh, yeah, no.
So he just set it up.
Dude, let me ask you. I don't listen, Royce and Chauncey. I don't know if you do, but
I haven't listened since 2006.
Because
nor should you.
And I'm not. Again, I know it sounds like I'm fucking bragging, but I'm the only one, for the most part, who would call him out on shit when he was goofing on the Christmas.
You gotta give Sal a little credit, because going in this Chauncey, I went into this Howard Stern K-hole in preparation for this interview.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad.
And there's this clip of at the roast.
Yeah,
it's the Baba Booey roast, but Sal gets up and he makes a comment. He says, you look like a horse and you've been sucking Howard's dick. Hold on, wait, that's my Beth roast. And Howard gets pissed.
Yeah, but that's not even. That's I would never do that.
No, I know. And then Sal goes, wait, hold on, let me translate. And then he neighs like a horse. And you just can see the rage in Howard's face.
Yeah, but no. You don't want to attack the looks of a fucking guy's girl. See, that's I wouldn't do that.
But let me finish.
What?
So then he goes... He goes, sorry, Howard, I would have totally ran those jokes by you, but you were on vacation.
Yeah, all right, all right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, John, of what we're talking about. So you remember your ex-wife had a play or something?
Tony Tina's Wedding.
Polyester Lounge in the city. Remember that play?
Oh, yeah. Bertie's Bachelorette Party.
Yeah. So Howard and I went to it. So a lot of people went to it. The opening night. So people just thought that I was friends with Howard. I really didn't even know him, but people would assume that. So they sit me down at this on this bench with my wife at the time, and they bring Howard over, and they go, "We thought you want to sit next to Chauncey." And he sits there, they put him down right next to me. And you know this is killing him. And the next day I call in, and you could never do this now. And I said, "Howard, I just want to talk about you wanting to sit next to me at John's wife's play last night. I thought it was kind of weird that you requested to sit next to me." And then you kept nudging closer to me during the performance, and I had to keep moving over, and I didn't know what was going on. Why was your knee pressed against mine so hard during the whole show? If I did that today, you wouldn't even get those words out, and you'd never be on the air again.
Yeah, you wouldn't even get on the phone, right? Because I don't even think most of his callers are real anymore. They're all...
Yeah, they're all fake. But now, okay, Chauncey, let's get into the Billy thing. Tell me what happened. I remember when Grillo got hair plugs, the hair plug company fucking totally ruined it. It was like scaffolding.
Oh, terrible.
Was that the same place that you went?
Yeah, we all went there. They advertised on the show, and Howard did live reads. Like every 15 minutes a live read for this hair company.
Yeah.
And he really believed that this place was amazing, and if you were losing your hair, this was a way to fix it. Now, the company, you could say they were smart or stupid for what they did, but anyone associated with the show got free surgery. So I didn't pay, Gorillo didn't pay, and Billy West didn't pay. We all go to this place, and the first thing they do is pull hair out of the back of our heads, and they plug it into our front of our heads. We didn't know that these weren't doctors. These were actual garbage men, sanitation workers.
Oh, God.
Pick up the garbage there, that these doctors trained how to pull plugged hair out of your head and stick it into the front. They actually all got prosecuted. Garbage men did our hair plugs. Garbage men.
Holy shit. That's worse than supercuts.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That's debatable.
I didn't realize how bad it was until the day they shaved Grillo's head.
Yeah.
And saw those giant scars.
Yeah.
I should have thought about it. First thing I did is look at the back of my head, and I had the same freaking thing. And Billy does too. These giant Frankenstein scars on the back of our head.
Yeah.
Which was the staple of this place. That's how you know they got you with those scars.
And now what happened with Billy? Is it because I've maintained, and I've talked to Billy, the reason why he left, it started with Howard wanting him to work for less than union minimum, and then they had a contract dispute. Now, you're saying Billy left because of the hair plugs?
No, he didn't leave because of that, but he was devastated by it. I spoke to Billy about it. I spoke to his wife at the time about it. She said that Billy was devastated and asked me if I knew where to go to get the scars fixed. We were all searching for some miracle that could fix our heads.
Wow.
It's unreal.
Wow.
And these guys, I'm sorry, but these guys obviously got work off of advertising on the Stern Show, so imagine how many other people fell victim to this.
Now,
it was Dr. Hinzig. Yeah.
All right, but now here's...
tons of people.
But here's the other thing, Chauncey. Now, it's, you know, that I'm reading the notes here, it says that Ralph tried to pull Billy's hair and Billy wanted to sue or something?
Well, you know, that was how... This is the irony of this. Howard's big thing was pointing out people's bald problems. So if you were losing your hair, if you had bad hair, that was Howard's go-to. He's going to point it out. Well, that's like the fat guy in the room pointing at the other fat guy. Someone thinks that he's a fat guy. No one had a bigger and thicker wig than Howard. And he's pointing at everybody in the room, so he's hoping that nobody points to him.
But
that's,
how do you...
That's the God truth.
How do you know that Howard has a wig?
Because...
How?
There was an advertiser. I don't know if you want me to say the name.
Yeah, say it.
Richard Farrell.
Yeah.
Remember Richard Farrell?
No, I don't remember. Go ahead.
You can look him up on Google. Richard Farrell, if you look at his head, it's exactly the same wig that Howard wears on his head. It's the same wig. So so I went there to get my hair done, to get my plugs were a disaster. So I started wearing a wig.
Yeah.
The same wig that Howard wears. And so I.
But how do you know that Howard wears the wig?
Wears the same wig that Howard wears. So I'm in the room. It's like this room they put you in. It's private. You know, it's just.
Wait a second. Wait. Who else wears the wig that Howard wears besides you?
The guy that owns the company.
Okay.
Howard his wig.
All right. So now you're in a room.
So I'm in a room, and there's a couple of pictures on the wall of clients. Well, there's a picture of Howard. And I'm like, holy Christ. And it's like, to Richard from Howard, you know, thanks for everything. And I look at this guy, Richard, and I'm like, Howard? He goes, oh, you didn't know?
Oh, awesome. We finally have the answer.
Yes.
Now, how does this line up to the movie, Chauncey? Because I've gone down that rabbit hole, too. This happened right around the time of Private Parts, or is this pre-Private Parts?
Mid-90s.
So probably right around the time.
Late 90s.
Because I read, and I don't know if you can debunk this, that he went to this guy during Private Parts, and and it was helping him out with the movie, and he got accustomed to them.
Richard Farrell does all the Hollywood films. He does... Whenever you see a bald actor, like you see Bruce Willis or Kevin Costner.
Brendan Fraser's on his site.
It's always Richard Farrell that does the Hollywood hair for movie sets.
Wow. Stern by Farrell.
Hollywood Howie.
And if you look up Richard Farrell and look at his head, it's the same wig that Howard wears. It's almost, it's Howard's wig.
But now,
hold on, I'm going to order Howard's hair off of Amazon real quick. We'll have
but
it
now
for
tell
next
me, though, what animal did they kill for that wig? Was it a possum?
Oh my God!
How many possums?
I saw thicker than that was Beyonce.
A kookaburra?
And I'm not even kidding. I saw Beyonce's wig once, and it was like a spaceship in the middle of a room. It was that big and wild.
Are you saying
the wig is kind of like that? It's like something in a museum. It's just so massive.
Beyonce and Howard have the same wig, just a different tone.
So wait a second.
No, there's no and every year his hairline gets smaller and smaller. His forehead's almost gone now. His hairline almost touches his eyebrows.
All right, now listen.
Age like that,
Chauncey. But I'm still trying to figure out. Ralph tugged on Billy's wig, and then Billy was going to sue. Is that true?
I don't know much about. I don't know about that. It sounds like something that would be true. I don't know.
Okay.
That story. I don't have any info.
All right. I'm just moving. You know, right along to keep this fucking as interesting. And Chauncey, you've been great. This is awesome.
Can I ask him a quick question?
Yes, of course.
Chauncey, when I reached out to you, you mentioned you didn't think John would have you on the show. I'm curious.
Yeah,
would you think that would be the case?
Because I think in my head, I'm so used to being hated by everyone that associated with the Stern Show. When I say massive amounts of hate, I even had a girl. I had a girl in Ohio, a housewife with children, threaten to put a bullet in my head, and it seemed so real. That I went to the police in my town and I gave them the email. They said, oh, we'll take care of it. They had detectives go to our house, knock on the door, just thinking she's going to say, oh, I was just kidding. She said, no, I'm really going to fly to New York and put a bullet in his head. They go, well, we're going to arrest you then. She goes, I'm going to do it and you can't stop me. They actually sent her to Hackensack, New Jersey to stand trial for wanting to put a bullet in my head for real. So I'm so used to this. That I always assume.
Hey, the scar would be less than the fucking hair plugs.
Yeah, I just assume that I'm always trouble, or you know, I'm just.
That's why he wanted you on.
It's like post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm just so.
All right, but why did you think I wouldn't have you on? What the fuck? I never had a problem with you.
I know. I'm just used to it. I just assume.
All right, now planting Gary's dad's wake article.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me what this
is
about.
These are shorthand notes. So Howard accused you of planting the article about Gary's wake, or you actually planted it?
Yeah, I'm the one behind that.
what was it, Chauncey? I didn't see it.
Story. So I think it was Gary's mom that died, I believe.
I think it was his father passed, I believe.
Dad, or his dad. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
But it could have been the mom, too. I don't know.
No, it was his dad.
Howard didn't go to the wake. Yeah. And I learned that the reason was because Beth somehow stumbled down a flight of stairs on the way to the wake. So Howard had to take her to the hospital. And he wasn't able to go. I think it was in Connecticut. Wasn't able to go. I got a hold of a photo. I think Beth jogging on the beach that afternoon. Or it was some evidence that I sent to the paper and said, Beth recovering from her broken ankle.
Wow.
And Howard went nuts. Oh, my God. He was so mad. At the time, he goes, I can't believe that guy still has power. When are the papers going to stop printing what he says? And he was so angry. But it was true. There was nothing wrong with
No, that. Howard didn't go. Howard didn't go to Scott's wife's wake either.
Howard's not going to go to Gary's parents' wake. There's no way that's happening. If he had to push Beth down the stairs, he would have.
He didn't even come to my wedding. I remember Benji Bronk used to call before he was even an intern. We'd call from a payphone somewhere in California, and go, I can't believe Howard's not going to your wedding. It's not right. It's not right. And it's true. Howard doesn't like. He's got.
No,
he's
not going to go to anything like that. No way.
Just like Tim Sabian told me when Tim was trying to get JD his salary doubled, and he told Howard that it would make JD happy, and Howard said, I don't care about anybody's happiness except my own.
Yeah, no, he's a bad guy.
He is.
I mean, everyone's learning it, right? What I said in 2005 has come to be a known fact by even the fans.
Okay, now tell me, Debbie Tay's $8 million lawsuit over Bones and Ashes. I remember, I was there during this, but what do you know about this?
Well, this is a two-part story, because one, the way, you remember Debbie Tay, of course,
yeah.
Right? The way Debbie died is as big as the Howard story itself. Angelina Jolie is the one that gave Debbie the heroin that killed Debbie.
Wow.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie was dating Jenny Shimizu. Remember her, the Asian model for the Gap ads?
No.
She's bald, crew-cut Asian. She was the spokesmodel for the Gap in the mid-90s. She had a big wrench on her arm and was one of the first supermodels to come out of the closet. So she and Angelina Jolie were having this thing, and Jenny Shimizu had a crush on Debbie. So the three of them were all hanging out, and they're all shooting up. Debbie was shooting up Jenny and Angelina. So Angelina made her first movie, Foxfire, up in Seattle, and they couldn't score on the movie set because they're getting sick while they're making this movie, Foxfire.
Yeah.
So Angelina sent Debbie money to get drugs from their drug dealer on Houston Street to ship to the movie set. So Debbie told me about it the night she was going to get the drugs, that Angelina and Jenny sent her this money. She's going to pick up, I think it was 200 bags of heroin, and she's going to FedEx it to the movie set. I said, that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea. Don't do that. Don't do that. She goes, no, you don't think I can get in trouble? I said, of course you're going to get in trouble. Don't do it. So she does it. The next day, I called Debbie up, and a police officer answers her phone, and I'm like, he says, this is Sergeant Rodriguez. I'm like, is Debbie there? He goes, yeah, she's here. And I say, can I speak to her? He goes, no, you really can't. And I'm thinking, she got busted. I knew it. She got busted with heroin. I said, is she all right? Thinking I got to come down and bail her out. He said, no, she's really not all right. She's actually dead. And I collapsed to the floor. I passed out. It was beyond devastating to me.
So what happened? She snorted her own stuff?
They found 14 bags of heroin open beside her. So whether she tried to kill herself or just couldn't find a vein or just overdid it, we'll never know. No one will ever
know. Okay, but then
So here we go. So I was the closest person in Debbie's life. We were soulmates. We had her cremated. I got her ashes. I was given her ashes by the family.
Yeah.
So I'm living with these ashes in the house, and Grillo found out that I had the ashes. So he tells Howard on the air, Chauncey has Debbie Tay's ashes. And Howard goes, I can't believe that. No way is that true. And he calls me up, and I'm like, yeah, no, I do. I don't know what to do yet, but I have the ashes. So he does a whole riff on it, makes a bunch of jokes about it. It's funny, having sex with the ashes. So they asked me to come on the show if I'll bring the ashes. And I said to Scott, I think it was Scott the Pace at the time, I'll come on if you let me plug this nonprofit heroin recovery center in the village.
Yeah.
If you let me give them a free ad, I can sit talk about them, I'll do it. So they say, yeah, no problem. So I bring the ashes on the show. And if you remember that show, if I could change anything in my life, that's the one. That's the biggest regret.
What did Howard do with the ashes? Did he?
He took the top off the box.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize, when you cremate somebody, there's two ways of doing it. You can pulverize the ashes,
yeah.
And that's what you see in a movie. They throw sand in the air,
yeah.
And it blows. Like the Big Lebowski, remember? They took the sand and it blew back into space.
Yeah.
Or you can do it a less expensive way, where the bones are pretty big pieces, like 3-inch chunks.
Yeah.
It's kind of morbid.
Yeah.
And that's how Debbie's ashes were. So Howard opens the top and starts lifting these chunks up out of the box and holding up to the camera and saying, "Hey, Robin, you think this is Debbie's breast? I think I got her nipple." He went there.
Ugh.
And it was bad. It was so bad. And the transcript of it is worse. When you read the show, it's worse than listening to
it. And then Debbie's family sued, and who won?
They sued me, Howard, and Infinity, CBS, for $10 million each. We initially got it thrown out of court, but then they appealed, and it went to the Supreme Court of New York, and it came down to the day before the trial, and Howard finally settled out of court. But to this day, if you look it up and type in Harvard Law School and Debbie Tay, they study that case as to what is defamation. It was ruled by the judge of the Supreme Court, you can't defame a corpse. You can't be dead and get defamed.
So wait a second. I can't trash Larry King?
When Larry King dies, you can say you fucked him in the ass and his wife can't sue you.
All right, but wait a second. How much did Howard pay? $8 million?
I think it was $35,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
Off of an $8 million lawsuit?
It was really a $40 million lawsuit.
Wow, yeah.
I think it was roughly.
All right. So I listened to that show.
Yeah.
And boy, is it. It's bad.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And you know, you see the transcript of it, and you have to read, because when it went to court, can you imagine a judge and a jury reading that show? Hey, Robin, you think this is Debbie's tit holding up her ashes?
No, I know.
Well, you know, you talked about a guy wearing a glove before, and now this guy, years earlier, he's touching bones. He can't be that much of a germaphobe.
And by the way, when you read about today in the Me Too movement and politically correctness, What the hell? How does Howard get a pass?
I know.
When people
no.
are getting called out for what they did when they were 15 years
no.
old, Howard's getting a pass for holding up ashes of a girl on a show.
I've been saying this for years. I've been saying this for years, but as far as the germaphobic comment, Howard probably can because he figures it's been burned, so it's clean. It doesn't have any disease. So, but go ahead. Now, you know what you're going to say?
No. Just, you know, there's this whole thing now, you know, he's dangling this new thing with the book about what his big secret is over the last couple of years. And, you know, I saw the best one yet was that he voted for Trump. And it kind of made me think, wow, maybe that's the secret he's been lying about for 2 years, that he actually voted for Trump. And when you start to really look at who Howard is as a person, and the more you learn about this guy, that would not surprise me one bit.
What do you think the big reveal is, Chauncey?
Well, there's a lot of things. It could be the car he bought for the stripper who he got impregnated at Scores. Could be that one. There's so many things that Howard has done that would take, that you think he's taken to his grave. Who he banged, the people that he banged, you know, the sex he had, and with who he had sex with. It would probably knock you off your, you know, out of your socks if you knew.
All right, listen.
So many skeletons in his closet. It's really hard to say.
Well, he said the secret's in the last 2 years he's been lying about it. So I thought that was pretty poignant. I don't know if you think that he would vote for Trump.
I'm going to guess it's the wig.
Oh, it might be the wig. Well, I've said that, but all right. The Stern sex tape, I know that what you're talking about is Cabbie having sex in the studio.
Really, that's really more of a Cabbie story than anything else. I mean, Cabbie put that video out there, which was incredible that even happened, that Cabbie could take Jawan Jeremy, that porn star, I forgot her name, whatever her name was, he brought all these porn stars up, and on Howard's chair, he got a blowjob. And it's so funny when you think Howard to this day sits on that chair. You would think you'd pour gasoline on it and burn it. But Cabbie's ball juice was on that chair.
I know. Ron Jeremy's or Cabbie's?
Cabbie's ball juice dripping onto Howard's.
Well, I don't know which would be worse, Jeremy's or Cabbie's,
or Debbie's bones.
All right, now Opie sex tape lawsuit. What's that about?
So, one of Opie's ex producers had a beef with Opie and Anthony. More Opie than Anthony. And so I did an interview with the guy, and he tells me, hey, if you want a scoop, do you know Opie's fiance at the time, she did a sex tape with Bam from MTV. And I'm like, oh, there's no way that happened. He goes, no. He goes, another guy that was a producer on a show actually has the tape. I've seen it. It's real. And I swear to you, this is true. So I say, well, I'm going to do a big thing on this, but I got to see it first. He goes, no, we're going to get it for you. I'm going to bring you the CD with it. I said, okay, do that. And I'm going to start asking around. So I called Page Six. And I said to, not Richard Johnson, but one of the other guys he had there at the time. I said, do you know anything about this tape? He goes, yeah, we've heard about this and we're working the story on this end. He goes, what do you know? I said, I just spoke to the producer and he tells me it's real. He goes, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm waiting to see the tape. He goes, well, we're going to keep digging on our end and let's touch base on this. So that was it. The next morning, Page Six does a story that Chauncey Hayden said that Opie has this wife did this sex tape and this is real. According to Chauncey Hayden, this is all real. And I wake up and Opie's going off on it. I'm suing fucking Chauncey. I'm suing Page Six. I'm suing everyone. And he did. He sued me for $10 million. He sued Page Six. He sued Richard Johnson. And again, it went to the Supreme Court. Another case got thrown out and got pulled back in. And I even got to depose his wife. And I brought her in. And I'm allowed to videotape her by law. So I stick a camera in her face and start asking her crazy bullshit questions just to fuck with her because I could. Because he was fucking with me over this. And to make a long story short, my lawyer, Darnay Hoffman, who was the lawyer for Bernard Goetz, his wife was the Mayflower Madam, if you remember her. So Darnay doesn't charge me a penny. And he represents me in this case for years. And he's like a Columbo of lawyers. His spaghetti stains on his shirt. He doesn't have an office. He doesn't have a fax. He has to go to the candy store down the street to send him a fax for paperwork. It's crazy. But he's at the depositions, he's not asking any questions, and I'm getting killed. I'm like, Darnay, say something. He goes, I got them just where I want them. They think I don't know what I'm doing. They think I'm stupid. I said, I think you're stupid, and I think you don't know what you're doing. He goes, no, I got them. I got them. Watch how we turn this around. Well, you know what? He did. He won the case. I didn't have to pay a dime. 10 minutes later, it's on the wire. He put a steak knife through his heart.
Oh, God. Hey, but did you ever see the tape of Opie's wife banging Bam?
It was not her. It was not her.
Oh, God. Well, then we have to apologize to Opie. Then you have to apologize to him.
But pissed me off was Opie was suing me when I was just researching a story. Yeah. I never wrote
about
it.
And was it about his current wife now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I can understand. That's not fair to Opie.
No.
All right, listen, Chauncey, listen, I'd love to have you on for a few minutes next week if we can, because I have to cut this short because I'm taking a few friends over to Jay's garage, and I'm meeting them at 11:15 at my place, and I'm about 10 minutes away, so I got to get going. We've been on the air for how long?
We're an hour and a half in. I mean, I think we really – why don't we just pick this up next week? Because this is really
Chauncey,
a two-parter.
Can we pick up some more shit for next week?
Yeah, there's plenty more to talk about.
All right, because I have House Sparks on next week, and I'll do some time with you as well, okay?
What do you have on next week?
House Sparks.
Oh, House Sparks, okay.
Yes, he's my co-star of Dude, Where's My Car with me and House Sparks. Forget about Sean William Scott or Sean Michael Scott and Ashton Kutcher. It's really Stuttering John and House Sparks is a movie. But, Chauncey, you've been great, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and we will definitely have you on, like, next week. I just got to go, and, I can't, I have an appointment at 12.
I'm in California, man. I'm here in the rain and cold in Ireland.
At Jay Leno's garage. You enjoy Ireland, have some potatoes, and have some, what is it that you guys eat in Ireland?
Guinness. We eat a lot of Guinness.
Oh, yeah, Guinness and corned beef and cabbage.
That's not what I heard.
No,
but
that's a New York thing. That's not a Irish thing. We don't have cabbage here in Cornwall.
Oh, wow. So that's not even a real thing?
No, it's fake. They wouldn't even know what that is here.
As fake as Howard's hair?
Nothing's as fake as that.
That's a good pickup point for next week.
Yes. All right. Thanks a lot, Chauncey. Okay. I'll see you next week. Let's all thank Chauncey Hayden for coming on the show. Let's thank Royce D'Orazio and my very good friend, Frank Bocanegra, who has been doing cameras here. We will be back next week with a brand new podcast with Hal Sparks. And again, getting some more gossip with the great Chauncey Hayden. What's up, Royce?
And he looks very Irish, by the way. He's really gotten into the whole U2-like vibe.
Yeah. He looks like The Edge.
Yes, he does. I think he does.
Yeah, he has the hat and the thing.
Next week on the show, The Edge.
Yeah, The Edge. The cutting edge. He's been sued twice already. All right. Everyone go to TV Remix, watch the Billy Jackie and John on Howard. It's really, really good. We're getting great reviews from Dogshed and from Reddit, believe it or not. And also on my Twitter at StutteringJohnM. Go to StutteringJohnMelendez.com to find out about my upcoming dates and buy my book, Easy for You to Say, number one in general broadcasting for over a month. And this is Stuttering John saying yeah.
The Stuttering John podcast is recorded live in high fidelity stereo sound and can be heard on iTunes, but you knew that already. Hey, what are you doing later? Can I call you? What's your number?